Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, thanks a lot for coming back, helping me fix my little mistake here. But we're back on. I'm sure Brian Kay will be joining us. I'm going to recap. This is, again, the King for a Day Fantasy Football Podcast, Part 2. We are doing predictions, a prediction show for the 2015 season. Gracious enough to join me, Steve Wellman of the Meat Puppets, Tim Savor of Lost in the Sauce, and Brian Koch of the Old Helm Ogres. We just finished recapping predictions for the Gothic Conference. We are now ready to move over to the Renaissance Conference. Again, gentlemen, thank you all for helping fix that. We have a clean slate, and I am going to be a little bit more on point in this one. I'm not as bumbling. So, hey, let's kick it over to the Renaissance Conference, where we will begin with the Blue Division. So who's Royal Blue in your opinion, Steve? Let me start you off by telling you the Blue Division consists of the Kenosha Commandos, Beerman's Brawlers, Dirty Hippies, and Irishmen.
Well, I like two teams in this division. I like the Kenosha Commandos and Dirty Hippies. The other teams I just don't think have enough star power to get it done. As far as who's going to come out of it, it's hard to tell. I mean, I like the Kenosha Commandos. They're very solid and deep. They're going to get points that they need. I think the Dirty Hippies, they just have a couple of little holes, a couple of little questions. Eric Kendricks, I'm not so sure about, and he's also down a kicker. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not he can field a starting lineup. So I think Kenosha Commandos jumps out on this one, and Dirty Hippies might make a run at the last playoff spot.
Tim?
I'm going with Kenosha Commandos on this one. Really like this team. I think it is the most solid. I really didn't have a trouble, and there's just a couple guys on the other teams, but it's like you said earlier, just kind of turned me away from the teams. But I really like, he's solid from top to bottom. I mean, Romo, Ingram, Decker Fitzgerald, Vincent Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Calvin Johnson. I mean, this guy was picking offensive studs, basically. And Rob Gronkowski, just to mention a couple. He can easily start two tight ends at flex if he needed to. Not to mention have all the offensive starters that he does. Same thing on defense. I see the exact same turnaround on defense where, yeah, he's got a couple of guys who are pretty clear backups, but for the most part, he used the same drafting strategy I did when he went into it. So I really like the team.
Brian, give us your thoughts on the champ from the Blue.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and go with Beerman's Brawlers. You know, mainly one person goes ahead and carries that team, and his name is Andrew Luck. He's just a gentleman that's going to go ahead and carry a lot of teams to fantasy stardom this year. And needless to say, if Luck hits on all four cylinders this year, he could definitely be a force to be reckoned with by himself. So with that being said and done, we can move on to the next one.
Well, let me hit it up, guys, because Bill Novak, you're my boy, Blue. You're the guy, man. I'm going Bill's team, damn it. It's just that good. It does not please me to pick Bill's team. High upside plays, high upside, mixed in with solid vets. He needs a kicker, but I'm sure he'll figure that out. One of the better teams in the league this year, in my opinion. Wild card spots, as Brian mentioned, pushing on to the next level. I'm going to pencil in Andy Wellman's Kenosha Commandos here. Strong quarterbacks, plenty of offense, including the ability that I love to slide Gronk to flex if he wants to. Kyle Rudolph could end up being a top 10 tight end, and that could free Andy to strengthen his offense with Gronkowski. Now that Brady is not going to be suspended at all, that's more stats for Gronk. So solid team, solid defense, and that's my take. Bills team finishing first, and Andy as a wild card. Steve, did you want to toss out more wild card thoughts?
Well, I think, like I said, I think it's going to come down to those two guys. And like I said, I think whoever doesn't take the division is going to wind up with the sixth wild card. I don't see that their teams as quite as solid as you do. I just don't think that they have the big powerhouses. Andy has a couple linebackers that he might hit on, but that's why I gave him the slight edge for the division. But I don't see either one of these teams being one of the major players coming out of that conference.
Tim, wild card thoughts? Blue division.
Wild card thoughts. I was having a tough time between Beerman and Dirty Hippies there. I got to give it to Dirty Hippies. Very solid team, definitely on paper. He's got a few guys I'd personally switch around on their roster, but I do think they have the depth to take it all the way and definitely secure a wild card spot.
And Brian, any last thoughts on the wild card picture for the Blue Division?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put it up into a fight between Dirty Hippies and Kenosha Commandos. So I think either one of those two can go ahead and duke it out for a wild card spot. I think we're all in agreement that Irishman is pretty much eliminated himself, with his team. But, you know, it's a long 12 weeks again, and anything can happen.
Oh, hell yeah, and Kyle's got a kind of a habit of making a trade that just turns out every year. He seems to, every year, he'll turn a trade that everybody looks at, and next thing you know, the guy's kind of on a winning streak. So let's go over to the Purple Division. The Purple Division features the Meat Puppets, the Typhoons, Gators, and Saiyans. Steve, what do you think of this division that has your very own team in it? And
well,
don't you be shy.
Sure.
If you feel it, you feel it, dude. Throw it out.
Yeah, I think this division comes down to two teams, and the Meat Puppets and the Gators, and it kind of shows our two different philosophies. You got a lot of guys that have upside. I have a lot of guys that are more proven. So I always go, you know, with the more proven players because they've proven more results. If your guys hit. I definitely think it'll be a battle, but I got to give this division to me, and I got to give you the wild card coming out of it.
Okay. Tim, what are you thinking?
I'm also thinking Meat Puppets on this division. Again, lots of really good, solid guys. Aaron Rodgers is just going to, dominate. Even with injuries, he's Aaron Rodgers, and that's just not being a Packer fan. But Carlos Hyde, he's the only guy touching the rock over there. Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Jason Jackson, all number one wideouts. Larry Donald, good solid tight end. Blair Walsh, great kicker. I've had him years past myself. And then just a great, great defense. I like it all around. And then he's got the depth, a few guys in there that if they hit, it's going to be really, really dangerous. And then he's got guys that you know are just going to be solid. So overall, I tend to go with the solid depth and the overwhelming, I know it's going to score. So I think Steve's going to take it. And, I've got to go with Gators as the wild card. You hit on one or two of those, and it's going to be pretty devastating.
Brian, help me out with the Purple Division. Purple Division. I don't know why I'm having my colors mixed up today. I'm colorblind while I talk.
I'm going to go ahead and go with the Saiyans. I just think that you got Drew Brees there. You got the offensive flex positions that just look real solid and real smart. The defense looks a little, hanky-panky, but neither say nothing that you can't fix through free agency and a little bit of luck. So, my money is going to go on the Saiyans on this one.
Well, for me, guys, I have to be honest. I like all four of these teams, and I'm serious. Something tells me that they're just going to beat the hell out of each other and cost at least two of these teams from making the playoffs. And it's not by much, but I'm going to go with the Meat Puppets to win the division. I think the Puppets are primed for a really good season. Solid bench to go along with a great starting lineup. I do hate the Hyde pick. I just don't think there's that many points to be scored in San Francisco this year. He definitely is their goal line back, but you do have Landry on the bench to save you. So I think that's going to I think you have enough on the bench to pull it out. And for the wild card, I do think the Saints will be neck and neck with the Typhoons, and it wouldn't surprise me if both of them made it, but I'm going to pick the Typhoons based on their defense. Ty has a few holes on offense, but that defense is just top-notch. And, you know, my comment was don't sleep on the Saints. You know, ask me tomorrow and I could push them into first. It's just that tight of a division overall. So anybody else have thoughts about the wild card? I think you guys were kind of making them as we went. Brian,
I was just going to say that I think that there could be multiple playoff guys, but I think the division is going to be so competitive that whoever winds up standing out on top is going to keep one or two of these guys out. So, and I mean, not just out as far as the division, but maybe even beat them down enough that that they don't even grasp a wild card.
Tim or Brian?
I don't buy into that philosophy too hard. But I am going to go ahead and say that the Meat Puppets and Gators are definitely poised for a wild card, only because of the way that we run our playoff system. You know, obviously, you know, the last, you know, you're going to have a team that's at 5-7 and still make it into the playoffs, only because of the whole tying system. So, you know, just got to remember, it's not a true top six. Obviously, you can have a top seven or even top eight teams going into the playoffs. You know, so needless to say, I think that the Gators and the Meat Puppets are definitely going to be there in the playoffs at the end of the year.
And Tim, you had some more comments?
I was just basically going over the fact that, yeah, the toughest division by far kind of mimics the Gray Division down in the Gothic Conference where, I mean, there's just going to be a lot of competition, real close division battles going to be going on there. So I definitely like all the teams in this division. It was really tough to really put one ahead of the other, and I think I spent the most time in my head kind of putting one against the other. But I do think that you're going to see one, maybe two wild cards coming out of here with Gators and actually like Typhoons. So I think all of us have mentioned every last team in this division as far as wild card spots.
They're all that. They're just good, and it's a tight division. But I am going to make a prediction that from now on, when Steve thinks of my team, he's going to hear this song. Oh, yeah, Lionel Richie, dancing on the ceiling, guys. The high ceiling.
High ceiling.
High upside. Young players that I have staked my team to this year. So I didn't pick my team for anything, but I did pick my team to have that as its theme song this year. Let's move over to let's put on the rose-colored glasses, guys, and look at the red division. So the red division comprising of the Champions of Chaos, Gracie's Got Game, Lost in the Sauce, and the Phantoms. Steve, what do you think?
I got to give the division winner probably to Gracie's Got Game. I like Philip Rivers or Tom Brady, now that Tom Brady's not suspended. That's a quality quarterback. Little weak here in the first couple of weeks because he's going to have a couple of his guys on suspension, Le'Veon Bell and Marcellus Darius. So if he can get through the first 4 weeks, at least 2-2, those guys should improve his team. And then he's got a good solid wide receiving core in Allen, Cobb, Charles Johnson, and Pierre Garçon. Two good tight ends in Travis Kelce and Charles Clay. not a standout, overwhelming defense. I'm not sure if Brian Fram still gets the concept of defense, but it's solid enough that I think the offense can definitely hold up its end of the donkey. But for the record, I think Lost in the Sauce is right on the heels. The only thing that and Champions of Chaos, both these teams kind of fall in that category where they have some really good standout stars, but then they've got a bunch of guys that just don't belong on the same roster. If you had two or three of them on your roster, that'd be fine. But when you have five or six of those types of players on your roster, that just kind of tells me that you might have a little trouble going forward.
Tim, can you give us your thoughts on your division, the Red Division? And don't be afraid to say your team, man. No shame.
Oh, yeah, I know. I think I'm definitely going to be close, but I got to edge it out to Gracie's Got Game as well. Just a good, solid overall draft. Like I said, I think I'll be close, and Champions of Chaos is going to be right there too. So I got to go 1-2-3 on this one with Gracie's Got Game, followed by Lost, followed by Champions of Chaos, but it's going to be tight. Any one swing where a player doesn't perform or somebody's bench guy just starts blowing up could throw the whole division on its head real quick.
Brian, tell us about the Red Division.
Well, to go ahead and kind of answer that for you in a nutshell, I think Champions of Chaos is going to go ahead and run a little wild in that one. I just know that the way that my wife thinks and the way that she goes after players in free agency, and it's just going to be that much more of a competition. I mean, she's very competitive when it comes to games, fantasy football, and I just think that she has got a good springboard of a team right now to kind of help propel her to the championship, but to the division winner.
Well, guys, Chris, Champions of Chaos being Brian's wife, I don't think Brian's just looking for a sugar mama when he says that he thinks she's going to be in the money. For my money, I'm going with the Champions of Chaos. I think she did a great job, Chris, that is putting together a balanced team, strong on offense and strong on defense. And what's killing me is that in our draft review show, I was all over Gracie's Got Game, and you guys kind of talked me into dampening that a little bit. I still believe in them. Very much so, to the extent that I have Tim, you're Lost in the Sauce squad, and Brian Fram's Gracie's Got Game, both as wild cards. And it wouldn't surprise me if either of those teams won the division. But I do have them both penciled in as wild cards, and it was actually listening to points that you guys brought up in the draft review show that kind of swung me, that kind of tempered my enthusiasm for Frams and the fact that those linebackers are young, and frankly, maybe I had a little rose-colored glasses on. Maybe I had to temper that enthusiasm, and because I took them down just a hair, that brought the champs right back in the play to win that division. But, Tim, you have Gates coming out into the mix after 4 weeks. You have a strong defense, and you've got Quick and Robinson as high upside guys. Gracie, as I mentioned in our post-draft review show, if their linebackers pan out, they're my dark horse for the entire Renaissance Conference. So anybody with starting with Steve, more wild card thoughts?
Well, like I said, I think I got to give it to Gracie's Got Game, but I think that Lost in the Sauce and Champions of Chaos are definitely going to easily secure playoff spots. I don't think it's a question. Both those teams should make it, barring, of course, any injury.
Tim, more thoughts on the wild card out of your division?
I got to agree. I think all three of those teams are going. Phantoms is the odd man out. I just don't think he didn't kind of go deep enough on D to really secure it. That being said, like I said, it's going to be a fight in that division. I think I picked it. It's definitely the second toughest division outside of your and Steve's division, and third toughest overall in both conferences. So to see, three of the four teams go, that would be pretty awesome. I would like to see it just to say I was in that competitive of a division there.
Brian, help us out, buddy.
Again, I think wild card was the way that it's structured nowadays with our particular league. is that I think that we can go ahead and pick Lost in the Sauce to get into the wild card spots, and Grace has got games. So no offense to Mike out there, but needless to say, I think that Mike has come up a little bit short this year. He didn't take the Jay Cutler pick yet. Maybe he'll try to trade for him. That would totally swing me his way. But needless to say, if he can go ahead and pull that off, I'll be rooting in his corner.
You know what? You bring up a really neat point, because I looked it over twice, because if I start out with this offense, what do you guys think? I say Peyton Manning, Jamal Charles, DeMarco Murray, Latavius Murray, Jordan Matthews. I throw in Greg Olsen, Hoshka. You're already like, holy crap, that's a pretty good offense. And then you go over to defensive line, and you're like, Michael Jackson or Cameron Jordan? All right, I can live with that. And then it all falls apart. Sam Harrington, Jamie Collins, Jenkins. I mean, it's not that Collins, Jenkins, and Marshall are bad. It's just, you know, it's a very, very good team. And if he gets more out of his defense than I think he's going to get, then Mike's going to be in the mix too. So it's funny how in a lot of these teams we're talking about, in almost every case this year, and I don't think it's like this every year, I think you can make a case for almost every one of these teams if you wanted to. If you wanted to sit down and look at their teams. I mean, Kyle is, you know, and Kyle, if you're listening, you know, we're all friends. We all respect you, man. We just didn't like some of the draft picks you made. I keep harping on the three defensive backs early. I think they were in the top 10 rounds of the draft, three defensive backs in a row, and you could have pulled some guys out of those picks that would have helped you. But you look at his team, you know, you can make a case. Matt Ryan, that's as good as anybody else's quarterback. Chris Ivory, he could do really good this year with the Jets. I mean, he's definitely going to get the goal line carries. I think they're going to lean on him. A.J. Green should have a resurgent year. Hilton over in Indianapolis, high-octane offense. And then he's got Andre Johnson from that same offense. Zach Ertz is a guy who people are still expecting big things from. He's got the Dallas kicker. He's got J.J. Watt at defensive line. I mean, he's got Ha-Ha Dix and Barry Church. His weakness is he's got Shazier at linebacker, but he didn't have a lot of strength at linebacker, and there's not a lot of depth because of those wasted picks. But you see, my point is that you can make a case for that. I mean, that guy, he certainly could actually surprise us and be 500 or better, which would likely get you a playoff spot.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing that I've experienced with this league, though, is that if you have too many dead starters, and it is so hard for teams to, or for players to score points with our scoring system, if you have too many zeros or too many ones and twos on your defense in there, you don't have enough chance. And, you know, that some of these teams that I ruled out or thought that they weren't going to make a big push was because I thought they had too many of those players on their roster. And he's going to have to put them in there. And sure, Peyton Manning and Jamal Charles for the Phantoms, those are going to get good points. But, you know, he's not going to get a whole lot of production out of his defense, and that's what's going to hurt him. And the same thing with Kyle. He's got a couple of good stars in there, but, you know, you've got to line up, you know, 16 guys or whatever it is. And if, you know, if only 8 or 9 of them are scoring you points and the other guys are putting goose eggs or ones and twos on the board, you're not going to make it.
And Tim or Brian, do you guys like to add?
No, I'm just a casual listener right now.
Gotcha.
I agreed. I mean, you guys pretty much covered it. I mean, like you said, anybody's team could really, you know, turn out well, but all we have right now to go on is speculation and projections. So we're all kind of looking into our crystal balls on this one. Really, like you said, you can make a case for any team, but as far as my picks today, I just think those are the strongest.
Well, guys, let's go ahead, and I do have a segment after this I'd like to ask you about, but let's go ahead and wrap up the predictions portion of this by saying, as far as, like, divisions and conference champions, the king itself, let's go ahead and drop out our conference champion predictions as well as our overall king predictions. So let me lead. I'm going to throw out who I think will be the final two teams battling for the Gothic and the final teams battling for the Renaissance, and then I'll say who I think will win it all. So I have Legion of Doom out of the Gothic beating out Wolfpack or the Muskego Raiders to take the Gothic Conference. So my Gothic Conference champ is Legion of Doom. I've got those Dirty Hippies or the Champions of Chaos beating out the Meat Puppets or the Kenosha Commandos in the Renaissance Conference. I'm going to lean towards the Dirty Hippies. But it's close. That Renaissance Conference is really tight. So I've got my finals matchup being the Legion of Doom versus the Dirty Hippies, and I'm picking the Legion of Doom to come out of that one. Anybody else want to? You don't have to, guys, but Steve, if you want to, would you like to throw out your thoughts?
Well, I like the Wolfpack coming out of the Gothic Conference, and I think they're going to wind up beating Legion of Doom, so it's going to be the other way around for that. And I'd like to pick me, but for whatever reason, whenever I get into the playoffs, all my players go on vacation. And since it's a 16-year trend, I'm just going to go with that. So I actually like Gracie's Got Game. And the biggest reason I like Gracie's Got Game, to be honest, you know, Brian, you were talking about how Andrew Luck could carry a team. I think Tom Brady's got such a chip on his shoulder that he's just going to light people up. And that's going to take Gracie all the way to the end. And then I've got Gracie's Got Game beating Wolfpack in the championship.
How about that? Very nice. Tim?
I had a really tough time getting deeper into these divisions because it's projecting so deep. But, I mean, if I had to sit there and take a shot right now, I would go out of the Gothic division. I'm going to not break a trend here. I'm actually going to go Legion of Doom and Wolfpack. But I'm going to project Legion of Doom to take it. Up in the Renaissance Conference, I actually do think it's going to be, Steve, I'm going to give you one here. I'm going to go Meat Puppets and Gracie's Got Game. And with Steve's history, I'm going to go Gracie's Got Game to win it and then Legion taking it all.
Brian, what are your thoughts about conference champions and the king?
Nah, you know, that's just way too far out there. There's a lot of really nice teams out there. There's going to get a lot of surprises out there. But, you know, to go ahead and pick one team out of all these fantastic teams that have been put together over the last couple of weeks here, it would be really kind of unfair to everybody else. So I'm just going to go ahead and just say good luck to everybody. Manage your teams. That's the best advice I can go ahead and give you. You know, stay away from bye weeks, stay away from injuries, and just manage the team. And basically, at the end of the day, just do it.
Just all right, listen, I just want to throw out some secrets here, some tips for you. Anytime you're afraid of taking a stance on predictions, you do like I did. I quietly threw out like a third of the conference. And I don't know if anybody picked that out. I had like four teams named in my conference possibilities. So at the end of the year, I could say, well, hey, look, I was guessing that. Well, I took four guesses, but I was guessing it. So don't be afraid, Brian. Just throw out like six or eight teams.
I'll just throw out 24 teams. How was that?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't be a loser.
Well, guys, I do have a segment that I didn't write down. I thought about it while we were talking that I think would be a lot of fun and want you to go ahead and roll with me on this one. Let's talk, because this is a prediction show. We've covered all the teams and divisions. Let's talk about the players and the positions specifically. So let's look at quarterbacks. Who is your prediction to be the top quarterback in the NFL this year? Steve, would you like to kick off with a prediction? And feel free to throw two or three out if you want, but just kind of walk through the positions.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to have to throw out a couple because there's so many different variables. I mean, obviously, Andrew Luck definitely has all the tools and all the means to do it. Aaron Rodgers is always a solid producer year in and year out. But again, I kind of look at Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady could have or push Peyton Manning's record because he's just so just revved up to play. So I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Okay. And do you have a sleeper? A guy? Brady's not necessarily a sleeper. Do you have a guy that's a you know, not in the top 3 to 5 quarterbacks that is going to potentially break the top 5?
Yeah, I think actually Matthew Stafford might do it this year. I think with everybody coming back healthy on his team and having a little bit more of a threatening run game, I think he could actually sneak his way into the top 5.
Tim, do you have thoughts on the quarterback position? Who's going to finish at the top of the board at the end of the year here, and who's your sleeper?
As far as top of the board, I mean, Andrew Luck and obviously Aaron Rodgers there. Yep, there it is. They're both going to be up there. I think they're probably in everyone's top 3. But for the guy I think that's going to come up, and I don't know that I'd call him a sleeper, but I'd actually say Ben Roethlisberger. That team's going to have to throw a lot just to stay in games this year with such a weak defense. Yeah, they're going to be leaning on Bell, and he's going to get his points too. But with him being suspended 2 games, I think that's just going to edge Roethlisberger up there.
Brian, what are your ideas on top quarterbacks at the end of the year, and who's your sleeper? Somebody that would not necessarily in the top, you know, 5-10, but it's going to possibly finish in the top 5.
You know, that's another great question. But I think that Cam Newton always has the talent. He has the talent personally, but, you know, the problem is that he doesn't have the talent to surround him to help elevate him to that next level towards being a top 5 quarterback. You know, maybe with his maturity and his experience now, that can kind of just take over that team and really, you know, help that team rise above that cliche of what I just said. But I think Cam Newton is definitely going to be the guy that plays up to a top 5 quarterback.
Well, guys, I'm going to throw out my thoughts. Obviously, Luck and Rodgers are going to be in the top 5, in my opinion. But I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to find his way up. I think the other Manning brother, I think Peyton Manning is going to fall down between the 6 to 10 spots. I think Russell Wilson's going to move up, and my 2 sleepers, Sam Bradford and Ryan Tannehill. I think either of those 2 guys could find their way up into the top 5 by the season's end. If you guys are good, why don't we take a look at running backs? Steve, who do you think are the top one handful of running backs, and who's a sleeper?
Well, obviously, I think, you know, you got your Adrian Peterson, your Jamaal Charles. DeMarco Murray looks like he's not going to have the explosive year that he did last year, but he still will be a back to be reckoned with. And as far as sleeper, I look to see for a resurgence for Martin. I think all the things I've heard, a little bit I've seen of him, I think he might he may not, you know, produce like he did his rookie year, but I think he could get close again. So I look to see him do some big things.
Doug Martin, nice sleeper pick. Tim?
As far as running backs, I like Le'Veon Bell. I got him on one of my teams, so I kind of got to go home or pick on this one. Even suspended 2 games this year, I think he's still going to put up top 1, top 2 numbers. Let's see. For sleeper pick, I'm actually going to go with Alfred Morris because I think he's the only thing offensively that's actually still breathing in Washington. So they might have to just give him the ball, you know, 50 snaps a game and call it a day.
Brian, is there a running back or two that you think might finish at the top of the heap, and is there a sleeper running back that you want to tell everybody about?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead and put my money on Melvin Gordon. You know, I mean, rookie running backs haven't really made a big splash in such a long time, and I think that that's going to return sooner or later. And if I think it's going to happen sooner, I'm going to think it's going to happen right now with Melvin Gordon.
And, you know, guys, I should have offered this out to you. If you have a bust prediction at any of these, please toss it out there, such as I will toss out Carlos Hyde as the bust candidate. Not because Hyde doesn't have the talent, because San Francisco is in bad shape and they might not find the end zone very often. For offense, I think Eddie Lacy and C.J. Anderson are 2 guys that could finish at the top of the running back pile this year. I think sleeper-wise, Lamar Miller, if that's even a sleeper, is a guy who has the potential to really step up this year. And a guy that I had been drafting heavily, and I just kind of believe it's going to happen, is James White of New England. I just think he's going to take over that Vereen role, and I think he's going to find himself upwards of, you know, 15 to 20 range for running backs. He's not going to finish in the top five, but I think he's going to slide into what Vereen used to be, only maybe he won't get injured every third game. So, wide receivers, Steve?
Well, I'll go back to since you threw it out there. I think my bust for the year is going to be LeSean McCoy. I just don't think that that defenses are going to take the quarterback situation there very seriously. And I think that quarterback position is going to actually be rotating throughout the year. So I think teams are going to be definitely focused on setting him down. So I don't think he's going to do very well at all this year.
Tim O'Brien, any want to chime in on any bust candidates?
I like Steve said, I like LeSean McCoy for a bust candidate. I've not been drafting him very high. I've been let other people take him out of the way. Joseph Randall's another one I think might bust this year. I haven't really seen Randall really step up with the talent. He's got the line to run behind, but that's about, I just haven't seen the talent at all.
Brian, any bust candidates, or should we move over to wide receiver?
I don't have any bust right now. Let's go ahead and move over to wide receiver.
No bust right now, but when you do your scorecards and hold up the double zero, it does look like boobs. Steve, wide receivers.
Well, this is a very tough one because there are so many good receivers. I think Calvin Johnson, if he stays healthy, is going to return to the top again. Obviously, Antonio Brown is a good candidate. And I think actually to crack the top five, I think Mike Evans is going to make it this year. I think he's going to be Jameson's Banky, and he's going to get a lot of catches. As for the bust this year, I don't know if I call it a bust, but I think Steve Smith Sr. is not going to do nearly as well. I think he got a couple of lucky breaks last year. He was motivated by his move from Carolina, and I think teams are going to take him more seriously this year.
Tim, what are your thoughts at wide receiver? Did you say a bust, Steve, before I pull it
up? Yeah,
Steve
from Smith Sr.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim. Yeah. I didn't want to cut you off.
I would have to go with, I think it's going to be kind of Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. kind of battling it back and forth. Odell Beckham put up video game numbers last year. Yeah, he's going to get more attention this year, but you can't tell me, I mean, the guy was only out four or five games last year, that teams weren't paying attention to him by the end of the year last year, and he was still putting up just gobs of points. So I think he's going to do well with Antonio Brown right behind him. Also, I don't know if I'd call it a bust, but I think he's going to see a decrease, a drop-off, if you will. It's actually T.Y. Hilton. I think with all the other targets over there, I think he may drop off a little bit.
Brian, what are your thoughts at wide receiver? Top guys, worst guys?
I don't really have a worst guy in mind. Someone's going to really drop off or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you a guy that I think is ready, going to go ahead and make it to the primetime show. And that's going to be Sammy Watkins. I think that he's going to definitely be a gentleman that's going to go ahead and take it to the house, show up every week, and really make it an exciting player to watch him grow over the next 9 or 10 years. But I think this is going to be the season where he grows and advances to that next level.
So you think they're going to trade him out of Buffalo? Dramatic pause for laugh.
I was waiting for that.
But I think he has the talent to go ahead and obviously move forward with his career. you know, providing that Buffalo can go ahead and get that right quarterback throwing to him.
Well, I'm checking my stat tracker here, my news tracker, to see if he got traded. Guys, I'm going to go bold. My number one wide receiver at the end of this year is going to be Julio Jones. The Schottenheimer offense targets the number one wide receiver, the starting wide receivers for that fact, but the number one wide receiver gets targeted a ridiculous amount of time. Julio Jones is that guy this year. As long as Julio stays healthy, I think he'll be the number one wide receiver by season's end. Buffed candidates, I will throw out Alston Jeffrey. I didn't think that much of him to begin with, but I've seen a lot of people draft him rather high. So I think that that's something that I just have to speak up on. I do think as a surprising, like a sleeper, DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is going to do much better than people think down in Houston. I think he's way better than I thought he was going to be as a wide receiver, and I think he's a bona fide by the end of the year. People are going to be looking at him next year as a top 10 wide receiver, I think. Go over to the tight end, Steve.
Well, I mean, there's no question, Gronk rules. I mean, he's, especially again with Tom Brady and his chip on his shoulder, I think he's going to use Gronk quite extensively, and he's going to once again outpace all the other guys. I look for a couple of guys to come out. I think Cameron Jordan has a good opportunity to come out, and I think Larry Donnell in New York has a good chance to start rising to the top. And then my bust really isn't a bust, but I just don't think that Jimmy Graham is going to put up the numbers that he's did in New Orleans. Just the fact that, you know, even during Wilson's career, he had a couple of quality tight ends and they just didn't use them. And I just don't see that changing. It's the Marshawn Lynch show, and that's that.
Tim, who, if not Gronkowski, who might it be? And do you have a bust candidate?
Obviously, I think Gronk's gonna pretty much head this off. He's the clear cut. Number two, I'm gonna go with Greg Olsen. With the injury to Kelvin Benjamin, he's definitely he might even be the number one target over there, if not definitely the number two. So I think he's gonna secure that spot, followed by Martellus Bennett. I think both those guys are going to be definitely, with Alshon Jeffrey probably getting double covered this year, Martellus Bennett's going to be a huge target to hit in the middle of the field. Bust candidate, I've also got to go with Graham. For his highlies, I mean, he was taken two off the board in almost every single draft I was in this year. Everything I've heard is he's been blocking, you know, nearly 50% of his snaps. Unless they've got something up their sleeve with him, he's going to drop off significantly.
Brian, who do you like at tight end outside of Gronkowski, and do you think anybody might have some trouble?
I'm going to go ahead and shoot with Kobe Fleener. I think that Fleener's definitely got the talent to move to a top five, even a top three wide tight end for the year. He has the number one quarterback throwing to him. He's definitely had that rapport with that quarterback for several years, even before the pro years. So, you know, just to kind of sum it up, I mean, I think that that Kobe Fleener is going to be the guy that's really going to keep make a sharp turn to that top five, top three tight end position.
Well, guys, for myself, outside of Gronk, I think Travis Kelce has a shot of reaching him. Greg Olsen does too, but I think Kelce, I mean, they're a horse apiece. It could be either of those two guys could challenge Gronk. And the biggest bust has already happened. It's Julius Thomas. People were picking him high. I thought when healthy that he could be a focal point of the Jags passing game, but he's already hurt. He's already going to miss, I don't know, four or five games. I mean, right there for guys that picked him in the first half of a draft, and now you're going to be without your guy for, you know, a third to a half of the year. That's already a bust before the season started. We don't have much time, guys, but I do want to kick over to linebackers, if I could, and give you each an opportunity to talk about maybe your one or two top guys, maybe throw in a sleeper and a bust. Steve, what do you think?
Well, obviously, Kuechly, Levante David, Ogletree, those guys, Amaro Davis, those guys are going to be at the top. Two of my sleepers, I like Devin Kennard at the Giants. I think that he's going to explode on the scene. And I think Stephon Anthony down in New Orleans, I think he's going to have an excellent season. I watched a few of their preseason games, and that guy was around the ball, if not on it, every single time. A bust for this year, I don't know. I don't think Curtis Lofton's going to put up the numbers that everybody thinks he's going to do. And I don't know if you call it a bust, but Paul Posnesny or whatever his name is, he just can't stay healthy. People keep picking him high, and he keeps going out early.
Tim, could you help us out with a couple? And we're down to about a minute or minute and a half left, guys.
I'll play this quick. I mean, our top linebackers are pretty obvious. I'm going to throw C.J. Mosley in there. I'm sitting here and mention the first time Bobby Wright. Outside of that, sleepers, I like Shazier this year. I know I've mentioned a bunch of teams off of a bunch of guys off my fantasy teams, but because I like them. That being said, busts, I think the busts are going to come somewhere, and I can't name an individual. Out of Philly's linebackers, there's just so many guys that can make a tackle over there. I think they are all going to see a slight drop in numbers, if not